Every ultimate experience Ireland has to offer is always within reach with a 182 BMW. The ultimate bowl of chowder, seasoned with Atlantic salt air, the ultimate swim spot, even the ultimate scenic shortcut that happily takes way, way longer. Experience the ultimate with a 24-hour test drive from your local BMW retailer. Because owning your new BMW is always within reach. Visit BMW182.ie.
What's happening, everybody? It's Monday night. It's 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. on the West Coast. It's time for Plum Love Foods Live. What's happening, everybody? The number one food live talk show of its kind in the entire planet, in the entire world. That's right. That's how we're number one, because we're the only one. If we're the only one, then we have to be number one, right? That's how I look at it. And I have a microphone, therefore I'm an expert. So that makes me be able to say that we're number one. I think there's probably some statistics to back that up somewhere, too. This is damn sure one of the best award-winning radio shows slash podcasts on the planet that's never won one award. But you know what? We're still here kicking it and doing our thing. My name is Chef Plum, and welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. Ladies and gentlemen, happy Monday to you. I hope your week is off to a great start. I hope that you're not paying attention to any of this political nonsense that's going on. Good Lord, what a disaster that is, huh? Jesus. I knew. Listen, I'm not trying to get into political talk, but I knew the second that this dude got elected. And look, I'm Switzerland. I don't care about politics or want anything to do with it. But one thing I did say is that it will be entertaining, and I do appreciate fine entertainment. And it's been entertaining thus far. That's for damn sure. Holy cow. We're only a few days into this. Good Lord. I'm just waiting to find out what's going to happen next. I don't even know what to say. Anyway, let's not talk about that. Tonight, we got a fantastic radio show for you guys tonight, man. I'm looking forward to this. Tonight, it's a little bit different from what we've been talking about. We have been very, very chef-oriented the past 10 or 15 shows, and we're going to get back to doing that as well. But I tell you what, tonight, I've got a guest on that I've been trying to get on for a long time. I have David Todd from ESPN Pittsburgh. David is the host of the post-game show for the Pittsburgh Steelers, as well as the David Todd Show on ESPN Pittsburgh, and of course on iHeartRadio. And I've been wanting to have him on for a while because he does like every sport there is in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh being a great big sports town as well as a fantastic food town, I thought it'd be amazing to talk to the guy about food, the different foods, the different sports, and how they differ. And I mean, the guy sees it all, so it's going to be a great conversation about that. I guess I'm saying great, but I don't know that for a fact. It could be terrible, but the guy does radio for a living, so I got a feeling he knows how to talk. And hopefully, it's going to be strange because I'm looking forward to talking to David very, very much. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I feel like I have to have my A game on. You know, you got a professional, real broadcaster coming on here on this program to talk to me. But David hosts, he's one of my favorite guys to listen to. He also is the co-host of the extremely popular Terrible Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and, of course, at SteelersDepot.com. It's David Todd and Dave Bryan talking Steelers football. And I tell you what, man, I thought it would be interesting because we've talked so much about different types of media. Program different types of promotion for chefs and whatnot. To hear the difference between doing an incredibly popular podcast that's worldwide versus doing a very popular radio show locally in Pittsburgh. So, looking forward to talking to David about that a little bit, man. Hopefully, I won't get too weird about it. I tell you honestly, it's just one of those things where having I'm used to talking to chefs and making dick jokes. I'm going to have David on here, and I've got to act like a professional. I don't know. Hopefully, we'll do okay. So what's going on with you guys? I'll tell you what. It's been a great week already for me. I've already had an incredibly long day. I was in the city the first part of the day today. Second part of the day, I was in Greenwich working. It's just been a ton. And listen, this is the thing that's crazy. It's supposed to be the dead time. It's supposed to be the slow time. Everybody knows in this business, January, February, it's not the busy time for what we do. It's just not. It's not busy. But somehow or another, I have managed, and not bragging or anything, but I've managed to stay busy. And honestly, it's awesome. I mean, we got lots of work. Things are happening. It's awesome. So on top of just doing the we'll try to make that work. On top of also just doing, you know, cooking and whatnot. But your boy here, check this out. I have an audition with Marvel.
What?
Yeah. More on that to come. True story. I shouldn't say audition. I got called back for something for Marvel. Yeah. I'm not saying like Marvel, the people who make popcorn. I made that up. I don't know if it's a Marvel brand that makes popcorn, but Marvel Comics. Like, yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm excited about it. So we're going to work on that this week. More to come with that. And of course, we just got greenlit to do some more stuff for Edible, which we're really excited about. Bigger and better this spring and summer. God, I can't wait for that. Big shout out to my homie Rachel for helping making that happen. So yeah, we're really excited about it. Lots of things going on. I mean, honestly, very humble, very blessed. But more importantly, to still be kind of doing this radio show. Now, we had conversations before. I kind of pulled the curtain back and let you guys know a little bit about what's going on and how I've been contacted by a big radio company here locally in Connecticut about doing some stuff. And, you know, it still would have been available worldwide on the website and iHeart. And, you know, it was exciting. I mean, it was definitely exciting. I don't think it's going to work out. Just the way things are panning out with that, I don't think it's going to work out. So I think what I'm probably going to do is try to take this show to a different level, a much bigger level, and doing more with it. You know, this whole show started out as a fun little thing for me to do on Monday nights to get better at interviewing people. But here it's become one of my favorite things. I was rushing home after working a 14-hour day today to come do this show, and I couldn't be more excited about doing it. I'm all fired up. I didn't even have a 5-hour energy or nothing. Just ready to rock and roll, baby. So yeah, very excited about it, man. Very, very excited about it. So I think that's going to be our plan. I mean, I haven't fully ruled out. No, not total. Like, it's like 80% right now that I'm not going to do my original thing with this particular radio group, just because I don't know, man. It got too convoluted and too strange. Like, can we just keep it simple? Like, I don't know. And then they want to control guests and stop it. Like, I don't know. I'm just not down with that. Like, I like what we do here. I like hanging out. I like having a beer. I like talking. I like talking to cool people, and just kind of relating it all back to food. And while I probably would still get the opportunity to do that, I probably wouldn't get the opportunity to drink beers while I'm doing it. But hey, that's the way it goes. I guess we could try to work on that, but we'll see how it progresses. But honestly, guys, I don't, it's just not really my thing right now. I don't know. I mean, there's too many other things going on with Edible and a couple other projects. So I think being able to, and they wanted me to do it daily. They wanted me to come in daily. And I tell you what, we'll talk to David about this when we get him on. I mean, coming up with that amount of content, and he does sports, so I'm not sure if that's easier or harder to do. I mean, especially when there's only one football game, how much can you fucking really talk about the Patriots and the Falcons? But there's only so much you can talk about. But for what we do with food and what we do with talking food and talking to food people, I mean, honestly, it's a lot of content. And they were like, oh, it's an hour show. Well, actuality, it's probably 3 hours a day. And there's not a lot of money involved with it. And trust me, in my line right now in my life, if I don't get paid, my wife's not happy. And if the wife's not happy, well, for those of you who aren't married, trust me, just keep your wife happy. That's the way it goes. And if you are a wife, you deserve to be happy. How about that? You didn't think I was going to go there, did you? Yeah. Keep them all happy. That's what I'm talking about. That's I think that's kind of the plan. That's kind of how it's going to go with that. I just don't think it's going to work out. Also, a quick mention, of course, premiering this past Saturday night, a project that we have been working on for a long time. You can check it out. It's on Facebook as well as on YouTube. The first episode of The Lounge premiered. A fun show that we filmed a couple weeks ago with the Spot On Media Group. Our alumni from this program, Christine Girani, the bookend Baldies, Buddy Casamano, and of course Eddie Bennett, and my good friend Leanna Costa. That show, the first episode premiere, I wasn't able to be at the premiere because I was very, very busy, but a lot of fun. Big congratulations to those guys. It was so fun to do, and you know, I look forward to seeing what happens with that in the future, how it goes forward, what they do with it. So, you know, it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. So big congratulations, Spot On Media Group. Big congratulations to Christine Girani. We're very happy. We're very excited. Couldn't be happier for you, because it couldn't have happened to a nicer person. And Christine's been on this program several times. Yeah, big shout out to her. We'll see her too, of course, with Wing Festivals and whatnot. So, that's the plan with that. I'm looking forward to how it's going to go. And honestly, with all the excitement, all the fun things going on, hopefully that takes off and becomes something else more fun, at least entertaining for people to watch. That's what I hope. So, it's all about being fun and entertaining. And you know, I was trying to tell a buddy of mine who's working with me these days, you know, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. And that's kind of one of the things I want to talk about right now for just a minute or so. You know, when it comes down to things that are fun, you know, getting the opportunity to do events, big events. I got the opportunity to do a giant wedding, and it's just not really my thing anymore. I don't know. Like, I don't mind doing it, but it's not fun. It's just not fun. And if it's not fun, I don't know if I want to do it. And so, yes, you can make money, and yes, it's worthwhile on that end of it. But honestly, I'm just not sure if it's the kind of thing that I want to continue to do if it's not fun, because it's so much work. And honestly, I'm honestly not getting any younger, I think, is my thing. Listen, you want me to come out there, and you want me to do a plated dinner for 150 people, can I do it? Of course I can do it. Of course I can. I've done these things forever. Do I want to do it? Do I want to continue to do it? Do I want to do it every single time? No, not at all. It's the last thing I want to do, to be completely honest with you. So it's kind of staying with the whole mantra, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. Which just brings me to this awesome thing to tell you guys. Season 3, Edible Nutmeg on the road, starts shooting this Saturday. Very, very excited about it. I'm gonna milk a cow. How about that? We start shooting this Saturday. Those episodes will be out, I think, starting in March. We're going to go really quick with them. March. So they're going to start coming out very, very quickly. So when those come out, you know, we definitely will talk about them here, as well as, you know, where everybody else is going to be. And don't forget, you guys, this Wednesday, I'll be on Star 99 here locally, and of course on iHeartRadio, doing my thing, talking about game day foods. And Thursday, I think I'm shooting something for ABC where we're doing some more game day food or dips or something or other. It should be fun. Looking forward to talking to our guest tonight. One of my favorite guys to listen to on the radio, the one and only David Todd is here. I see him on hold right now. Let me get all the ducks in a row and get everything ready to rock and roll. I'm talking to a real professional broadcaster tonight. So I'm telling you what, I got a little shaky right now. I can feel it right now. I got to be professional. That's what I got to do right now. So you guys stay right there. We'll be right back. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, and Carrier Pigeon, every place else you can find it. Listen, it's there. Trust me. We'll see you guys in a second. Hang tight.
Keep a photograph of you upon my wall. The beach in winter on the island says it all. Oh, 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 those days were gold. Oh, 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 we didn't know. We stole your father's car, you didn't know how to drive. Touched down on the edge of town, we made it out alive. Setting sun. Oh, 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 I knew you were the one for me. And we said. Our kids shall forget. We ruled the stars. The only lights connecting me to where you are. Oh, 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 where have you gone? Oh, 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 I knew you were the one for me. And we said,
got to play that for my man Ryan Starr. He is, you know, our alumni of this very radio show and a good buddy of mine. He is actually in Switzerland right now playing arena shows. What? I know, it's crazy, right? What the hell is he doing that for? So it's and I'm not texting anybody, David, which I know is what you were just thinking. You know, it's funny because football is kind of one of those things I think that everybody has a feeling about. It has something about it. And for me, this year, football was quite an amazing thing, especially spending the time with my kids, being able to watch it. And I think it becomes the fabric of what we do. And associated with those things can be the people that you listen to talk to about football, or you listen to talk to about sports. And they kind of become entrenched in you, and you feel like you know them so well, but they don't know you whatsoever. But the guy that I've got here right now with me I call him one of the hardest working guys in radio, the last professional broadcaster himself, one of the nicest guys I've ever talked to, and comes on the radio and talks all about stuff that he knows, does his research, knows what he's talking about, doesn't just shoot his mouth off like a lot of these guys do. You can check him out weekdays at 4 p.m. on ESPN Pittsburgh and, of course, on iHeartRadio. Follow him on Twitter, at David M. Todd. Right now, my guest, David Todd. What's up, brother?
Chef, good to be with you, man. I'm glad we could finally get this sorted out.
I know, man. It's been great, dude. I tell you, I've wanted to talk to you for a long time, but I've got the butterflies right now. Listen, I've had Emmy winners on this show. I've had giant chefs on this show, Michelin star winning chefs on this show. But right now, having, like I said, a guy who I feel like I know very well, because I listen to you so often. It almost makes it kind of strange for me, because I think I know everything about you, and not, I mean, in a weird way. That did come out weird. Didn't mean it that way. But, you know, I listen to you all the time, and here you are talking, and I'm excited to have you on.
Well, it's certainly fun doing the aspect of what I do where there's a bit of a community, certainly around the Steelers, and whether that's doing the post-game show with Charlie or doing my show or the podcast, which you mentioned, where, you know, we get tons of feedback and emails and stuff like that. So, you know, guys like you who are regular callers on the post-game show, it makes it awfully fun for Charlie, because you obviously know your stuff, you're paying attention, and that's certainly part of it. And I know, listening to you talk on your intro about the enthusiasm you have for doing this podcast now, obviously you've caught the bug of that as well.
It's just so fun, man. It really is. It kind of becomes, you know, and long story short, I got an offer from Connoisseur Media to come do a version of this show daily. And the problem is there's just not a lot of money involved in doing that. And the amount of time, as you know, from doing a daily show, man, oh my God. Like, it's not, they say, oh, it's just do an hour. Yeah, it's not an hour, is it?
No. Well, you know, that's the thing that I always laugh because, you know, I was finding my way in it as well and got into it. And you can't mail it in. I do a show by myself for 3 hours a day. And certainly wow. I have guests, and that's a big part of it. But, you know, there's no, well, I'm not going to prep today. Let's just see how it goes. And so that's right. That's the kind of day-to-day nuts and bolts of the blocking and tackling, as they say, of the job. But it is fun, and I love the guests I have, as you obviously do as well. Listening to I'm a little bit I'm out of my depth here on your podcast, particularly if we get into the area of food. But it's good to be with you, and you know, talking sports is always fun.
Well, dude, everybody's got to eat, so trust me, you're not out of your league at all whatsoever. You know what's up. You got to eat. But it's funny because, you know, you talk about kind of being out of your element. You weren't always a radio guy, man. You were like a money guy, like a trader, right?
I did. I spent 20 years in New York working in finance.
Wow.
That was my graduate degree was in business. So I worked in New York before I went back to grad school, and then did that and was there for probably, you know, 14, 15 years the second time and enjoyed it. New York City is an amazing place to live. It's fun. You know, making a little money and living in the big city was fun for a guy from Pittsburgh, and met a fascinating group of people, incredibly bright, talented. And the world changed. The world of finance changed while I was there dramatically over the course of, you know, 15 or 17 years. And then at the 2008 when I got out of the business, basically the world changed enough where I got the business I was in, the firm I worked for got out of that business, proprietary trading, offered me a different job. And for better or worse, and I often wonder, was it for better or worse? I decided not to do it. I hung around New York and spent all my money and then went home and looked for something to do.
Wow. I mean, was it like an Office Space moment where you just like started beating the printer or the fax machine with a bat and like, I'm leaving, the hell with this?
No, it was very amiable. And I'll tell you, never kind of thought twice about it. I, you know, I did stick around New York for 18 months and I just had a blast. I wasn't working. I had a little bit of money and I knew that was going to end at some point, but New York City, as you know, is just, such a great place to be. And when you're there and you're grinding it out every day, sometimes you don't get to take advantage of some of those things. So I made sure while I was there toward the end that I did. And I had a great apartment, which, you know, that there was a point when that had to go. And so when that point came, off I went.
Yeah, I was just there today, man. I was just on the Upper East Side working today. And I love the city, man. But I think as I've gotten older, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, it's fun to be in. I'm glad I don't live there. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I think that's the way most people think as they get older. Look, you need a certain amount of money to have a lifestyle that's easy because, you know, New York is a tough town and
totally.
It's expensive to live there and to, you know, just to do basic ordinary things that I think we take for granted is very expensive in New York. But yeah, you know, the energy there, the buzz and the talented people in just every field and just the diversity is pretty great.
So how'd you get into radio? You went home and then you said you were looking for a gig. Did you start off like in, you know, generally try to hire you in sales or something like that first? Or was it straight up like, hey, you know, put me on the air, let me do my thing? Because honestly, you're one of the best guys on the air. And I'm not just kissing your ass about it, but you are. Like, it's so many guys get on and just run their mouth and just say things. And God, it drives me crazy. The NFL Network guys, they just run their mouth and just say shit. And it doesn't make any sense. But I feel like you actually spend time researching and it's very thoughtful, very thought out. Like, it makes sense when you talk.
Well, thank you. I will say part of the reason I got it, I mean, I went home and I had no intention of getting in radio. But, you know, all my life I've followed sports pretty intently. And, you know, people always tell you, you know, you should do this. This is what you'd be good at. And I listened to the guys locally and I didn't think they were particularly good, but you know, I think every guy in the bar thinks that. So that wasn't anything new. But I knew somebody who knew somebody, and I fortunately through my connections of graduate school, I knew somebody who could get me an audience with a guy who was a very senior guy at iHeartMedia. And he said, well, I'm happy to introduce you to the folks in Pittsburgh, but let me just tell you, I've done this four or five times over my career with people like you who want to make a career transition. And I'll just promise you, three months from now, you know, if you do get on air, you'll say, okay, that was fun and interesting, but I have no interest in doing it.
And especially coming from the world of finance.
That's not how it went down. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, coming from the world of...
I got a chance. And
but
yeah,
like,
so I was doing Saturdays for free. That's how I started.
That's how it works, right? It seems to be that's the way it works. But it's funny because, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, one of the things and this is my last put David Todd over moment that I'll say, but, you know, there's no fake radio voice. It's just, I feel like I'm just sitting there listening to a guy talk, which I think is the appeal, you know? You don't have the, well, it's ESPN Pittsburgh, I'm David Todd. Like, you don't have that. Like, that's good. That's a great thing to have, you know?
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, you know, I got started and I just did it. It was, you know, I think the three people listening were a friend, my dad, and my brother, and it's gotten a little bit bigger. It's a small AM station, so that's, you know, I'd like to have a bigger network. But as you know now from doing this, the way radio is consumed, the way entertainment is consumed that is, you know, talk show type stuff is completely different than the way it was just 5 years ago with podcasts and just the various ways people can access it from their phone and from anywhere in the country. My audience is no longer just, you know, the 30 miles surrounding where our signal comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm in Connecticut and, you know, we'll talk about you were a Yale guy, so you're very familiar with New Haven, but 100%, you know, after the game, I call your post show. I call in, I talk to you guys, and here I am listening on my phone. And I think that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about, like the audience you have doing the Terrible Podcast. Obviously it's much, much different than what you have from doing your ESPN Daily Show, right?
Right.
And is go ahead.
It's an interesting audience. They are hardcore Steelers fans and we do it 3 days a week for an hour. It's as in depth as anything I do for sure. I mean, we get into the minutia of the, you know, the 53rd guy on the roster and the practice squad guys, the cap room and the contracts that guys are signing, you know, all the off the field stuff, along with some hardcore X's and O's. And they're, you know, the general population doesn't want to get that in depth about most things. But with anything, if people are rabid about something, whether it be food or you know, how the Steelers run game operates, you can find it now somewhere on the internet or on a podcast, and we supply it to those Steeler fans, and it's amazing. One of the things that I think a lot of people know when they talk about fan bases and where they're located and who are popular teams, with the dislocation that happened in Western Pennsylvania in the late 70s with the fall of the steel industry, so many people left Pittsburgh. And, you know, they went to, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and they went somewhere else to live. And when those people either continued to be Steeler fans or their kids grew up and adopted the Steelers as their team. So, you know, oftentimes on television, they talk about how Steeler fans travel well when a stadium's, you know, half filled with Steeler fans for a road game, which is true.
Idiots.
They do travel really well. But Steeler fans are everywhere. It's nuts.
They're everywhere. Yeah, I mean, that's what drives me crazy. I hear it all the time. Oh, you know, they travel well. No, they live there, dude. Like, honestly, I grew up in Virginia, and I grew up a Steelers fan. Now I'm in Connecticut. I'm a Steelers fan, which honestly, and I don't want to get too much football because I'm
tough
still
week.
Very, very bitter.
Tough week.
Very bitter. Especially, brother, listen, especially because my whole family are all Pats fans. I mean,
well,
they have a luxury suite
at Gillette
Stadium. Oh, I mean, but through all that, that's how I ended up. I ended up meeting Greta and Art Rooney and becoming friends with them and training camp and all other stuff. It's because of that. So I can't get so mad about it, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, you got to take the good
with the
bad.
Yeah, so, you know, in the podcast, we drill down a lot deeper and it's very focused versus, you know, the radio show or even the post game show, which is a little bit more, you know, a little broader, not quite as deep.
Well, it's interesting because podcasts, and we talk a lot about PR and promoting and self-promoting on this show all the time. We have chefs on. It's amazing now, David, like how many big hotel groups and big restaurant groups that'll hire, you know, hire new chefs, hire new cooks to come in. They want to know your social media following before they hire you. How crazy is that? Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a whole different world. And it, the marquee stuff now around food, for me, not necessarily, I certainly wouldn't consider myself a foodie. And watching, you know, whether it be Top Chef or whatever it was, kind of as this whole thing has grown, I mean, I find myself watching these shows just because I'm interested to watch people who are really good at something do what they do, particularly when I know nothing about it. So that's the appeal for me. And I'm sure for them, it's the, you know, for these larger food corporations, it's the, you know, people love the pizzazz and the name recognition.
Well, that's what it's become. They love that aspect of it. They love how you could do the social media to interact and promote their business and promote the restaurant and promote the hotel. And it's incredible. I've had clients who you know, I've gone and done a lot of work in the Hamptons, and they'll want to know what my social media following is so I can tweet their pictures or I can Instagram their pictures. Going into radio, I mean, it's crazy, dude. I know.
And what you show, going you into radio, that pretty face, and you're good. You show that pretty face and you're good.
That's
pretty
right,
face,
the pretty face.
Big blade.
Look, I go with the
big blade.
Yeah, I go with the pretty face because anything below the neck, it's a body like a melted snowman, dude. It's a mess. I've been married a long time. It's not good. But in radio, is it anything similar to that? Like, you know, do these guys like, hey, you know, we got to do social media. You got to do the X, Y, and Z, you know, or do they say we want you to create an Instagram account so you can talk about, you know, what you're doing on the radio? Do they want, they push you for that at all or no?
Yeah, I think that's something that everybody, every media personality is, you know, to a certain degree, their own brand, as you are. So, you know, I do that more because I enjoy it. I like interacting with, you know, most people on Twitter, not everybody, of course, but it's, you can have some, believe it or not, you can have some intelligent conversations, which I'm sure most people don't believe.
No, you can't.
It's how you build your audience. So.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Twitter was kind of the bread and butter for me for a long time, but now it's Instagram, especially for food and whatnot. What do you find works best for you with radio? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? What do you get the most interaction on?
Twitter for sure. Twitter, Twitter is, I think for sports people, Twitter is such a great amalgamation of people, and they, you know, you just access everything so easily through your timeline. It just aggregates, you know, all the areas and topics that I want to follow. So I can get everything without having to go through 50 internet sites. I can, you know, click on a guy I know at, you know, who writes for whatever the Steelers opposing team of that week for that paper and just see what his stories are for that week and follow different things. So Twitter's very easy. I'm not on Instagram. I'm probably the last person who's
I tried to find you.
So that's a different world for me. I use Facebook some, but not a lot. I should probably use it more, but Twitter's where I do my social media.
Yeah, I got forced into Facebook, man. I didn't want to do it, and I'll tell you why, because I didn't really care what my mom's friends were doing. That's why I never wanted to do Facebook. But
I think that was my target audience for a long time, so I can't turn my back on it.
Dude, get off Facebook. It'll happen right away. It's funny because all Facebook is now is just venom and political talk. And I mean, I couldn't be more Switzerland and all that stuff, man. And but I'm guessing in what you do with talking sports, you don't see a ton of that sort of stuff, do you?
I steer clear of most of it. The big social issues of the day, I will try to talk about and give my opinion on some of that stuff, but it's not my bread and butter. I don't avoid it if it's topical and what needs to be discussed. I'm happy to do it. And because I have opinions, as most people do, about these things, but I realize that's also not the first reason people are turning the radio on. Although I will tell you, the feedback I get when I'm off topic, you know, maybe it's just because it's something different that people don't hear every day, that I tend to get positive feedback. I was giving a little Mary Tyler Moore feedback the other day when she passed away, just talking about, you know, being a kid. Right. And growing up and watching television shows, I mean, you know, the Mary Tyler Moore Show was cutting edge stuff before we thought about all those things that were cutting edge for women in society. And so that was a little off topic that I think caught some folks by surprise that was a little different.
But I think you have to do that, man. You have to kind of go off the beaten path a little bit from what you normally do, because that's how you get new listeners or you get people talking a little bit. And even if you get one or two people to chime in or be a part of that. I mean, that's how you grow an audience.
For sure. For absolutely true.
I think you have to. I think, you know, you listen to a sports program and you're talking Mary Tyler Moore. I mean, I think it kind of shows a range a little bit, you know. I don't know. I think that's a great thing to do. I think it's smart to do.
It is fun. It breaks up the monotony of, you know, on third and two, why'd they call this play? Because, you know, even for me, that gets old at times.
I just want you to know, every football reference you make, my toes curl. And I'm just like, why? His groin's not hurt. Put him back in the freaking game. That's all I just keep thinking. it was a nightmare, dude. I was very upset. But when I called into your show,
that's a little
Le'Veon
positive. Bell reference. He's not talking about me. Le'Veon Bell reference. For those
Yeah, that's right. It's a football reference, you guys. It's a football reference. football. It's interesting, man, because football is one of those things that. You know, when I was bringing you in here, I think it kind of becomes entrenched in your family. And this year, I have three daughters. I don't hide that. I don't post their pictures or anything. But, you know, this was the first year I had where my kids were really into the game. They were into it. It became a thing that we did. Like, we would watch the game together.
Well,
that was awesome to me.
The oldest one's what? The oldest one's 10, 12? How old's the oldest?
I have twin 9-year-olds. Okay. How about that? All girls. So.
Yep.
In the Miami game, I realized my job as a father and as a man was done. When she screamed, that was pass interference on Antonio Brown. She goes, "Daddy, they grabbed his hand," and I'm like, "Yes,
excellent,
yes,
excellent.
That's right. Right. They certainly did,
always
honey. They
the
certainly
other guy.
Did. Oh. Right, right.
Yeah.
But you know where I'm going with it is that, you know, you have these things that kind of become part of your family, part of your routine, part of what you do, and you know, for one of the things that I do. Is after the game is over, normally my kids are going to bed or going to do their own thing. And, you know, I put the post game on that you host with Charlie Batch. And I listen to almost the entire thing as I'm cleaning up after the game and whatnot. And it's kind of become one of those routines, one of those things. And I think as you being a guy who's on every day, number one, has an incredibly popular podcast and you host this post game, you kind of become entrenched in people's lives. So when people call into the show, you know, weekdays or even into the post game, they feel like they know you so well. I mean, that's got to be a weird thing to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of my friends are generally not people calling the show, but they listen to the show or the post game show. That's one of the things you share those experiences with a lot of people, like I did growing up. I mean, I can tell you who the broadcasters were for all the teams that I listened to growing up. And it's one of those, you know, they tell the stories about being invited into somebody's living room to tell them the story of the game. My gig's a little different than that, but there's certainly an element of that that just comes with the territory. And you know, one of the big debates I think that I've found is, you know, you want to share some of yourself and you don't want to share all of yourself. So, you know, there's some level of things that I won't go to, you know, most of the, you know, my personal life is not topic du jour on the show, but you tell stories about your family or your upbringing, and some are poignant, hopefully some are funny, and a variety of different things. So yeah, you definitely get that, and people do feel like hopefully they feel there's a connection, but they do know you. I mean, you know, if you're listening on a regular basis, you hear me enough to probably know where I land on most things and what I think about things.
Yeah. Completely. But you know, I just gotta imagine, like, you know, for me, I call in and I talk to you and I feel like, well, it's almost like a sounding board, whether it's a win, whether it's a loss. I mean, it's like you feel like you're actually doing something about it when you call in and talk to the post game show and you know, call in and let me just talk to David, let me just yell at David for a minute. It's probably his fault anyway. I mean, no, they always want to yell at you when something bad happens. They never want to tell you did a great job when they win, right?
Yeah, I gotta say our audience is pretty good. So, you know, they're generally, you know, not too many flaming, drunk, craziness calls. Generally solid, you know, football folk. And you know, look, people are hot, man. They take this stuff seriously. When they lose, they're not happy. But it's I like our group. And I do like doing the postgame show, even though, you know, Charlie and I finish at 2 a.m. about, you know, 6 or 7 times a year, which is it's not on my list of fun things.
Yeah, that part sucks. I know. I feel for you especially after a late game. I'm like, oh, my man's got to be on all night. He's not happy about that. So when you do those shows, though, you do the post-game shows and whatnot, and you're hanging out with Charlie Batch, and you guys are doing these shows, and you get phone calls that obviously I've heard them when I listen live. You have some of them that call in, and you're like, oh, my God, what's wrong with this human being? What's wrong with this person? What's been the worst story like that? Obviously, we're not going to sell anybody out and give you names, but there has to be a story or two. You're like, what in the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you get those every once in a while in terms of, you know, there's a component in Pittsburgh that regardless of how the Steelers do, they won't like Mike Tomlin. And you like to think that most people who are thinking about those things want to think about it, you know, clearly and based on what happens on the field. I think there's at times a racial component to some of that stuff. So that stuff's, you know, not fun.
Right.
But, you know, in general, it's, like I say, it's pretty good. And we get them. We're obviously not taking these guys live on the in the sense that I'm not picking up the phone. Somebody's picked them up and screened them. So, you know, if they're so drunk they can't speak or whatever, they're not getting on the air. So don't have to worry too much about that.
Well, let's talk about your call screener really quick, because whoever was call screening the last game, he must have talked to me for 10 minutes before he put me on hold. He's like, so how's everything going? That's really funny. Oh, it's been a great season, man. Thanks for being a part of the show and calling in. It was awesome. I was like, that's a nice
guy.
Great.
We got two young guys doing it this year who it's kind of their first gig. Both smart young guys, but it's their first gig. So they'll be hardened and cynical soon enough.
Good. The world hasn't – they haven't shown them how terrible the world is yet. That's a good thing. That's good. So they're very nice guys. So I'd be remiss if I didn't –
things about food at the home games. You know, it took me two or three years to figure this out. In fact, somebody had to tell me that they serve the media at each, you know, every game. And so if it's a 1 o'clock game, they'll have more of a brunch fare. And if it's a, you know, later game, they'll have more of a, you know, meal of, you know, and they'll always have, they almost always will have a meat, but they try to cater the meal somewhat to what the food of the visiting team is like.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So if Kansas City's in town, you know, they'll have ribs. Yeah. Right. And you know, I don't know how many of the visiting teams have it, you know, can be, you know, the city can be spotlighted for a particular fair, but that's right. One of the things that goes on at the, I don't know if you knew that for the Steelers.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So what was your favorite home game fair that you got?
Well, one of the things is, you know, so this year the food, I was going to tell you this, I didn't know, I don't know if I should be saying this. The food was a little uneven this year, and particularly kind of the roasts, the roast that they were doing, whether it was, you know, beef or some of the turkey and stuff. They didn't really, a level of consistency was not up to prior seasons.
The standard was not the standard.
Had some dry and some undercooked beef. You know, you get it one way or the other oftentimes.
Oh, Jesus. That's terrible. Listen, you should never be doing those sort of things for buffet style for people. It's not good. It's never going to turn out well. It's just not going to happen.
right. For 150.
Oh, God. That's crazy talk. Well, so up there, like, I guess in the press box, I mean, it's 150 people.
Yeah, probably all in between, you know, local visiting media. They serve a lot of the security force and stuff that are there for the game and broadcasting teams and all, you know, all the rest of it. So, but yeah, by the end of the day, I'm sure that's about right.
God, that's a lot of people, man. That's just not going to be fun whatsoever. So you do a lot of stuff also with hockey. A big Pens fan. The funny thing is about Penguins, I don't really fall into being a full-on Penguins fan till about mid-February. It always takes me a little time to kind of transition over. Is it the same kind of food? Like, you know, looking at talking about Pirates, talking about the Penguins, talking about the Steelers, the same kind of thing that goes on in the press boxes, or does it change?
Yeah, so I don't eat at the other so with my show, because those are generally night games, I don't eat at the other venues as much what they serve the media. But I think they, you know, at the Steeler games it's free. At the Pirate games, it is. They have like a I think they have a pretty good fare. They charge you something like $12. It's nothing outrageous.
Stop it.
for what you get. And then Penguin games, I don't know, because I prefer when I go to games most of the time to not sit in the press box. So if I'm going, hopefully I'm going sitting in the stands with people I know, or oftentimes I'll be at home and I get a couple televisions. And look, if I'm paying attention to a game, there are 162 baseball games. The press box at the most beautiful park in the world, PNC Park, is, it's a great scenic view, but it's not a great view to watch the game. And so if I'm taking notes and want to pay attention, I'm better off at home, tweeting about it and, making my notes and watching the game, because I want to see what Garrett Cole's, curveball looks like tonight and be able to talk about it intelligently, over the course of the season, how that goes. And I can't do it from the press box. Right? I mean, you can, but it's not a great work environment. And I'm not a locker room guy. I don't go in and get quotes from players and stuff like that. And I much prefer it that way. I don't have any interest in being buddy-buddy with the guys or, a regular in the locker room. That's not my gig.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, almost like when you're in those boxes, it's fun to be up there. Obviously, I've been in a different scenario. You're up there for work, but, you're right, though. I mean, it's almost like you get a better view of the game just watching on TV at home. You get more, you see better. You understand what's going on better.
Yeah, if I'm there, I want to have a couple beers with my brother and my buddies and enjoy it that way.
Yeah, it's way more fun then, right? I don't know. I mean, dude, you seriously, you cover everything. You really do. If you had to pick one, what's your favorite?
Well, I think if your audience is involved, obviously in Pittsburgh, the Steelers are, first, second, and third in terms of
course
level of interest. It's great. For me, the easiest thing to talk about is baseball, because it's so granular. I mean, every pitcher batter matchup is potentially something to talk about. Whereas when you talk about a football game, you'll talk about the 10 big plays, but you're really not talking about how the right guard played or how the inside linebackers, what they did, except for on a play or two. So when you talk about a football or a hockey game, it's a lot more 30,000 feet. What was the general style of the game, the tone of the game, and a couple big themes. Whereas in baseball, you might, you can get into almost each individual player, pitcher, batter, how they're doing, how their season's going. And it's such a long grind that, how that story evolves is pretty interesting. So it's a little bit more intellectual. Doesn't make it better or worse. It's just a little different in that respect.
Yeah, it's just one or the other. I mean, I guess so. I mean, baseball is a hard thing for me to watch, man. It gets down to, playoff time, it's more fun, but it's a lot of games. Can we just make baseball like 15 games and just do it that way?
I mean, it's just, look, we talk about this is the time of year where I don't care how much of a college basketball fan you are, or how much of a hockey fan or NBA fan you are. I mean, when they're playing 82 games or 35 in the college season, and you're right in the middle of it, and the playoffs still seem far away, it's the grind. February's the grind. It's my birth month, and I'll tell you, February sucks. I mean, it's the weather here sucks. The sporting event, there's nothing going on in the world of sports. So you just got to grind through February.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking politics on your show. There you go. You're talking Mary Tyler Moore. That's what you're doing.
I would tell you, Donald Trump has made that off limits. I heard you say at the beginning, it is so polarizing that you can't even, you can't even start the discussion.
It's entertaining, right? That's what we'll say. It's entertaining. There we go. I mean, shit. I think we're only a few weeks away from him saying you're fired. I don't know. We'll see.
He just said you're fired to the attorney general. The attorney general about an hour ago.
I saw that when I was loading up. Like, oh my God, are you freaking kidding me? It's so, I don't know. I can't even deal. It's so funny, man. Listen, so growing up, you grew up a Pittsburgh guy, and I could talk to you all night. I have so many questions, but we're going to move us along quickly. So growing up a Pittsburgh guy, obviously a sports fan, what were some of those foods that really stick out to you growing up that you'd have maybe during game day, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, whatever it was? What's something that sticks out in your brain?
Well, you grew up in Pittsburgh, and one of the things that's interesting about the community of Pittsburgh was the ethnicities, and the fact that Pittsburgh, really the steel and to some degree, coal and oil industries were, Pittsburgh really was built on the back of immigrants. And Right. The first wave was all the Irish and the Eastern Europeans, the Irish and the Germans, and then the Eastern Europeans. And so there's so many, and Pittsburgh's a very hilly town geographically. Sure. So there's so many little enclaves and pockets, and each area of Pittsburgh was its own enclave. That was the, you know, the German community or the Irish community or the Slovak community or the Polish community. And it was somewhat, you know, secluded from others, just the way that the towns were divided because of the terrain. And so all these ethnicities, you know, there's a Greek food, there's all these food fairs that go on through the course. And when you're growing up, you know, you're exposed to all these things. And I grew up with, my mom was not cooking was not high on her list of priorities. So, you know, you go out and try all these different things. And for me, it was all different. It was all different than what I grew up with on, you know, ham and fish sticks and, you know, stuff like on a daily basis. So it was cool, but it was a foreign world to me. Food was a foreign world to me until I got to college. That's when I, you know, kind of started to see the different things out there. Cause I was, a kid growing up with parents working and four kids, and it was, you know, just slap it down there. But we did always kind of have family dinner. That was the thing that was, you know, relatively sacred in our house, is sitting down at the end of the day and everybody being there and having dinner together.
Yeah. It's just kind of one of those, I think it's great. And I think it's that alone, what you just said, is one of the things that's missing in this world today, is that we don't do that enough anymore.
Yeah. It was a chance around food to kind of learn about how everybody was doing. And I know more about my grandparents and my siblings and my parents from those experiences. I mean, I knew them well growing up because, you know, I spent an hour or two with them every day around meals.
Yeah. And that's, it's important. That's where, you know, we always say in the show that food is one of the most important things that we have in life, because, I mean, these stories are told at the dinner table. These stories are told at the breakfast table. That's where you bond with people. That's where you learn about your family. That's where we spend time together, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whatever happens. It generally happens in the kitchen with the family, I think, as a whole. And at least it was for me growing up. Sounds like it was the same thing for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So I got to ask you really quick before we move on to the fun stuff and finish the show out. You're a radio guy. Obviously, we were talking about the change in media and how things are happening. And obviously, you've got yourself set up nice with a terrible podcast and what's going on with that sort of stuff. But FM radio, Norway just announced that in April, I believe it's April, they are doing away with FM radio. How about that? Have you heard that story?
I did hear that story, and I was trying to understand what it was about. And, you know, I guess the reason they can do that, they're doing it is again, you know, this would get, we need somebody who's with an electrical engineer to give us the details on this, but it's somewhat to do with their geography. Right. And they want to use different parts of the spectrum. And because of
they're
going to
go
mountains,
it's more digital, like a cell phone signal is kind of what they're going to switch to, which
exactly.
is, I mean,
HD
interesting
type radio, right?
I'm not really sure how HD radio works, but I know it's going to be like a signal, like a cell phone sort of thing has. I know some smaller areas and they are going to still have an FM radio for emergency broadcast services. But, you know, seeing something like that happen, I mean, I got to imagine that it's the beginning. Like, I think other places are probably going to go that route. I mean,
that's exactly what I thought when I read the story, and I was just being hopeful because, I mean, I was then reading some more about it, and they were like, well, it's going to take a while before other people go this way. But, you know, for those of us in the smaller end of the spectrum, that would be a welcome change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, like I said, like you said before, you know, you're on a smaller station out in Pittsburgh, but, you know, you have with, you know, the podcast and even with these things today on iHeartRadio and whatnot. I mean, when I listen to you, right, I listen to, you know, the channel through that. It's built into my car. Like, we definitely see that coming, I think, over here.
And that's the best thing going, because otherwise it would. Yeah. I mean, look, if you're a, and this is where, you know, Mark Cuban was a visionary and a genius, and the fact that he sold broadcast.com at the dead smoking all time high. And then like the next day it was worth nothing. I mean, he sold it to Yahoo for what, $6 billion. And he was able to buy the Maz and do all the things he's doing. And a day later, it's worth, you know, a dollar. But he was, you know, the story, right? He was a, Western Pennsylvania guy who went to Indiana, and then he left Indiana, and he wanted to listen to Indiana hoops games, and he figured out a way to do it.
And that's how you do it. I mean, there you go. And now you're seeing so many people now. I mean, this show is – we're going to be on iHeartRadio. Like, it's just the way it goes. Like, that's where everything is going. You know, iHeart or, you know, in my it's tough because I think what you do with your show and shows like this that have a small following, like mine is nothing compared to yours, but shows like this are the reason you're seeing smaller radio companies like the one that offered me a thing. You know, it's that kind of content that's going to change the world. It's that kind of content that's going to keep them relevant because, you know, I have Alexa. If I want to listen to The Doors, I say, Alexa, play The Doors, and she'll start playing it. Like, music is not worth that anymore. I mean, it's the way it goes.
What's interesting, and I think this is, you can find the niche that you're interested in. And if you're interested, I mean, I was telling somebody this story about, you know, you talk about for bloggers and wanting to write about sports. And it got to the point where I was telling somebody a story as I have the Phoenix Suns on my television in front of me on TNT right now. But there is a blog. I was just looking through stuff and I was looking at something for the Suns a year ago. And there's a blog devoted to Phoenix Suns pick and roll plays.
Wow.
Like, you gotta be kidding me.
Wow. But
after every game, this guy goes through like 25 Phoenix Suns pick and roll plays and how they worked and what they did. And I was just like, well, there,
oh that,
we've now, we're done. We've finished. We have now gotten to the this guy just closed the internet for new ideas of blogs.
Oh my God.
Everything is clearly,
there's nothing new. We're done.
Yeah. You can go as deep as you want now. There is no, there is no uncovered space.
Oh my God. Well, I it's late. I want to get you off and I know you got to go, but speaking of things that are the end of times and there's nothing new, we always do a quick news story with the guests and do a little commentary on it for a minute. So I want to play a quick news story. It's 40 seconds, but it goes right along with what you just said. There's nothing new. So check this out. Just listen. You'll hear it. This is insane.
During a Super Bowl party, there will probably be a lot of drinks and food around the house. Lots of dips.
Which means that your dogs will be excited, right? Joel Nichols is here with some things to avoid to giving your pets on Puppy Bowl weekend.
And stay alert to what they're doing. You want to avoid beer, for example. Some dogs do like the taste, but it can cause deadly breathing problems, so be aware of that. And chicken wings, keep those away from the pup because those little thin bones can cause your dog to choke. They get stuck in their stomachs rather easily. And also, watch out for onion rings. First, onions are poisonous to pets, but the fried aspect of it can also cause some digestive issues as well. So be careful with those toothpicks. Two dogs can choke on them. It's just a lot of stuff going on in your house, and with your pets around, be alert that they might be getting into things they shouldn't get into.
It's that's okay. A real news story
from
KSHB in Kansas City. It's the local ABC affiliate in Kansas City. Aleph, if you want to go first or if I want to go first. That was a real thing on their news.
They got you covered, man. They got your onions are poisonous. When did that happen?
I don't know. It's the same thing like the Zika virus. What happened? Weren't we all going to die from the Zika virus a few months ago? Now it's gone. What happened to that?
Well, as long as you didn't die from the you know, the one with, that eats your skin, the Ebola virus.
That's right. That's right. The Ebola virus. Honestly,
I was going to get you. I don't even know what to say.
We're now doing news stories to tell people, hey, I don't know if you caught the first one. Don't give your pets beer. Oh, good.
Yeah,
dang, I'm glad you told me.
It's not good for its coat.
it's
good for a dog's coat.
Don't give your pets beer and don't give them chicken. That's a real news story. So the funny part was, Dave, is that After that, they were going to go into the top five pick and roll plays from the Pacers game.
Right. Now back to the Phoenix Suns and the pick and roll.
That's just amazing.
We got you covered here in Kansas City.
Oh my God, honestly, but you hear stuff like that, and to me, that's why I think guys who do what you do, guys who do what I'm doing here, I think we're safe. I think we're good to go. I don't think we have any worries, brother.
That's
what I'm talking
place.
About.
There's always a place to
go. Yeah. That's right. There's always a place to go. You guys can check out my man David Todd weekdays at 4 p.m. on ESPN Pittsburgh and, of course, on iHeartRadio. Make sure you follow him at Twitter, at David M. Todd on Twitter. He doesn't have an Instagram, We're going to work on that. We're going to try to find an Instagram for him. And, of course, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the Terrible Podcast. You can find that on iTunes. Listen, I work with private clients. I have headphones in my ear. I listened to the show you guys did today. By the way, they're going to re-sign Landry Jones. Dave's crazy. That's happening. I don't know why they wouldn't.
I'm with you.
It doesn't make any sense not to. It's crazy. They're going to pay it. They're going to pay him $47 and give him a Big Mac and a Hermione Brothers sandwich, and he's going to stay on the team. It's easy.
Yeah, couple years more in the Burke for the Oklahoma.
That's it. That's it, man. Hey, just last one for you, man. So if you had to think of one big piece of advice, because you're a guy who's you've made a career change from doing a very, very successful career, living in New York City, doing trading, to now doing radio and succeeding at that, too. What would be the biggest piece of advice you would give to young people, whether they're culinarians, whether they're business people, people trying to just do something with their life as they move forward every day? What would be the biggest piece of advice you give them?
Bust your ass. Don't be afraid to start at the bottom and work hard. And I think at the end of the day, if you're talented and you work hard, that'll show. And that's what you hope for. I mean, we're all looking for breaks, looking for the opportunity to get that chance and be seen. And unfortunately, not everybody gets it, and not everybody who gets it takes advantage of it. But you know, if you keep your nose down and continue to work hard, generally those people they're found, because people are looking for talented people all the time. It doesn't matter the profession or the industry. And if you continue to do a good job consistently day in and day out, I think that's a big part of it. You know, it can be a slog to do a good job all the time. But if you can do that, you know, that's the best road. You know, I hate to say it's anything other than hard work, but that is the road to success.
Wow. I mean, that honestly, I think you guys should all take a pause for a second, rewind this and listen to that, because that's one of the most real pieces of advice you'll ever get in your life, right there from a guy who is living it and who has done it. Last question, Dave. Super Bowl, what's the final score? I know it's been changed 15 times before the game.
Yeah, well, I'll give one that makes us all, certainly makes those around me feel good, may not make those around physically around you feel good. Let's go with a high-scoring, really entertaining game, but the Falcons pull it out 35-31.
Wow, Falcons 35? Wow, 35-31. All right, man. I'm hoping it's going to happen. Big shout out, my man, David Todd. Dude, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. It's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been something I've wanted to do for a long time. You're awesome to talk to. Open door whenever you'd like to come back and talk if you ever wanted to. You can follow him at David M. Todd on Twitter. And, of course, check him out, 4 p.m. ESPN Pittsburgh. The guy has a great show. He's a great guy to talk to and listen to what he's got going on. And, of course, check out the Terrible Podcast on iTunes. Dude, I can't thank you enough for your time tonight, man. It's been a pleasure talking to you, brother, and I look forward to hey, I'm going to be at training camp this year. Hopefully we'll catch up.
Chef, honored to be on the show, man. Really, I know it's I can't talk in the food world like most of your listeners were probably looking for, but really my pleasure to be with you. Thanks so much.
People love it, man. People love hearing this sort of stuff, brother. Hey, have a great few months, and I'll see you in a few months, I hope, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks.
My man. Thanks, David. Take care. There he goes, guys. That's David Todd from ESPN Pittsburgh. What a great guy. What a great conversation. If you didn't take a few seconds to check it out and listen to what he just said, his piece of advice, honestly, that's the best piece of advice I think anyone has given on the show. You just got to bust your ass. It was honest. It was awesome. What a great guy. Wow. I love that conversation. I'd like to have it again. It was great. And 35-34 Atlanta? I'll take that, man. I'll take that. Ladies and gentlemen, check it out. If you're checking us out on iTunes, please rate, review, and subscribe. It means the world. It helps out everything called algorithms. I don't know what an algorithm is, but it helps that for sure. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We really, truly, truly would appreciate it. We thank you for your time. We can listen to lots of podcasts out there, listen to lots of radio shows out there. Thank you for checking this one out. We really appreciate it. We will be back next Monday with a brand new episode. A brand new guest. So the beer went down the wrong pipe that time. I apologize. Make sure you check out my man David Todd weekdays, 4 p.m. ESPN Pittsburgh, and of course on iHeartRadio. Follow him at David M. Todd on Twitter. And that's what's up, man. I think that's how we're going to end the show right there. That's how it's going to happen, I guess, in my opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. And I'll see you guys next week. Keep on cooking, baby. Let's do it.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.